It's actually Gareth. It's Dave's going to watch what just happened, and we'll do that for the show. It'll be like a wormhole. Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. This is Dave. He's lost his mind, and he doesn't know who he is, but we're going to plow through. He hit his head pretty hard earlier in a bathroom sink, so he doesn't know who he is. But you got this, right, David?
Hi.
There we go. See? It's going to be fine. This is not going to be a problem. Is there a fire? What's happening?
It's atmosphere smoke.
Oh, okay.
That used to be a wall.
Oh. It's a change.
Behind you. Oh, it used to be a wall.
Yep.
They kept it.
Sure. Sure,
so
sure,
it's
sure.
Still a wall. You're listening to The Dollop. This is a bi-weekly American history podcast. Each week, I, Dave Anthony, once a week, read a story from American history to a guy that I met on a shitty podcast.
Sure. Named Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about. Don't you think we need to add a little spice to the mix, Dave?
Hey, what if we had a little something extra?
Are you talking about a dash of Ando?
I think I am.
Will Anderson, ladies and gentlemen.
Tonight's dash of Ando.
A dash of Ando. I think it works.
We're brought to you in part by Policy Genius. Look, if someone relies on you for financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Life insurance, it gives you peace of mind. So if something happens to you, your loved ones, they're going to have a financial cushion to pay for things like rent, mortgage, loans, education, just everything, daily expenses. And usually life insurance gets more expensive as you age. So it start a policy soon rather than, you know, waiting on it. So look, head over to policygenius.com and answer a few questions about yourself. And in just a few minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. And then you compare personalized quotes to find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And they work for you. So Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. So you can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you at every step until you're covered. They don't add on extra fees. They don't sell your info to third parties. So head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. We are brought to you in part by Zen Business. Look, a lot of people right now, the great resignation is on. They're like, they're out of their jobs. They're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want more control over my life. I want a better life. I don't want a boss man telling me what to do. And so a lot of people are starting their own business. Zen Business is very, very helpful. They got an all-in-one platform. It guides you as a new entrepreneur through all the stuff you have to go through to get it going, an LLC or whatever you're going to set up. Got a super easy pricing structure. Starts as low as $49. And then look, they're not going to hit you with a bunch of hidden fees. It's all very straightforward. What they say is what it is. They have a very fast and simple business formation for LLC and other business structures. Worry-free compliance and annual filings. So you can stay in good standing with the state. You can secure an employee ID number so you can open a bank account, hire employees, protect your person, all that stuff. I wish I had had Zen Business when I started my business. It would have freed up all that time I spent on paperwork and all that stuff so I could have just focused on the business. So look, Zen Business has helped hundreds of thousands of people get their business off the ground by guiding them every step of the way and making it easier to launch a successful business. Get started today for as low as $49 at zenbusiness.com/dollop. That's zenbusiness.com/dollop.
June 20th, 1909.
Okay. That died fast. Was that rehearsed?
Errol Leslie Thomas Flynn was born...
Oh, boy. I don't know much.
You should know. You should know. Do you know?
Yeah. Do you?
Was Errol Flynn?
Yeah. I knew Errol Flynn
okay.
is. Yeah.
That's why...
Yeah, but I'm sure... Surely there's reasons you're bringing him up.
was born in Hobart.
That brutal.
That was the saddest. That was the
saddest.
Was
the one guy who was sad there wasn't a Hobart show.
I know, yeah.
To Theodore Flynn and Marielle Flynn, Errol's dad was a botanist and was often away for work, and Errol spent a lot of time at the local cinema.
Where's the botanist going for work?
Oh, back then, they'd fucking travel the world.
Oh, they'd be like, you need a garden? Hey, man, you want some green?
I don't think you know.
You want a little green? Huh? What, do you want a bush? Meet me around the side. I'll give you a bush. Get you a little shrub action. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you confusing a botanist with a guy who owns a nursery?
No, but... I mean, he's around the area.
So Errol spent a lot of time at the local cinema. He got in for free because the guy who owned it would spend time with his mom while his dad was out of town.
I don't know why that's strange. Doesn't every...
Wow.
My dad was on the
I guess when
that.
You're a kid, free movies.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, of course, too, that was the guy's idea. He's like, why don't you go check out a movie? Get the fuck out of here. Huh?
It's exactly...
Yeah. Come and see a double feature.
Huh? I'm going to show your mom a double feature. Get out of here, Errol. Get the fuck out of here. Go. But I've seen all the movies. Go.
The owner would pick up Errol and his mother at home and then drop Errol off at the theater.
Oh, my God.
Bang for your buck.
I mean, it's just amazing. Errol's mother was not a great mother.
Fuck off. She got him free movies?
Yeah.
I would have let my mum fuck everyone in the neighborhood if I got free movies.
At that age, it's so true. You'd be like, do whatever to her. I don't care. I love popcorn.
Errol's mother thought he stole her youth and she was often violent. When Errol was 7, he and a girl were caught showing each other their genitals. Oh. His mom beat up Errol and then he ran away for 3 days.
Oh my God.
Local farmers returned him after Errol approached them looking for work.
With his genitals out? Hey, I'm just showing them.
At 7. He's like, hey, you got anything around here I could do? I got kicked out of my house for showing a girl my dick.
I'm seeking employment.
7.
7.
7. I'm going to back up.
You standing?
Up. Oh, no, okay. I'm just going to back up because it felt weird.
Okay.
But I just felt like I was in front of you guys. Okay. Now I want to be able to see you without turning my neck. I don't like to turn my neck.
Well, it's always a sign of confidence when you retreat from the audience.
They're lucky I don't have my back turned right now. So Errol only spent time with... There he goes. Bye. That's good. I like it.
Wasn't Will here?
No.
Oh, there, I love
hey,
this.
What? Hey. There was never a Will here.
I see Will people. I like it.
I like it too. It's like a ghost Will is with us.
Will's behind a screen for those listening.
He walked off stage and behind a screen. It's fine. It's totally normal. It's how we do the show. Errol only spent time with his dad when he figured out ways to involve Errol in his work. Errol was disappointed his father never showed the kind of joy and excitement towards him as he would for something like the time the university got funding for a device that would slice porcupine ovaries in 200 thousandths of an inch. So he just wanted that kind of love.
What's the advantage? Of a porcupine ovary?
Of slicing the ovaries into 2/1000ths of an inch?
Yeah.
Well, then they're...
Tiny?
We can... easier to eat.
That's not true.
Yeah. That's what botanists do.
It's a local delicacy.
Oh, my God, Will.
I didn't know...
Oh, my God.
Is the wall talking?
Don't do that. Yeah,
that
no, it's Will. It's not the wall, it's the Will.
They actually serve them on their own spikes. It's very... there were dinner parties back in those days. You'd have a porcupine with the ovaries served on top on the spikes. Very, very fashionable. Very now in Hobart of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this. It's like we just have like a fat guy back there.
Yeah.
I want to come back, but it's an awkward walk.
Yeah, it is.
You can make it.
There's
a funny bit to get here, but getting back is lonely.
No, you gotta
it's my
up
own personal dollop walk of shame.
But there he goes. So Errol wanted to be a scientist like his dad, and he did experiments. Oh, there's Will. Once Errol learned that ducks almost immediately digest fatty pork.
Uh-oh.
So he tied a piece of pork to a 10-foot piece of string and went into his backyard that was full of ducks.
Oh, God.
He invented duck fishing?
Yeah. No. He realized that ducks, like, really ingest this, fatty pork really fast. Like, it just goes through them.
So he's got string on the pork.
Tied string to the pork.
And then we're about...
threw it to the ducks.
And
it wasn't long before he managed to human centipede a half dozen ducks ass to mouth on string.
Oh, my God.
Well, that is actually where the expression to get your ducks in a row comes from.
Oh, my God.
So...
it's true. Oh, my God.
This is the origin story of the popular Australian TV character Pluck a Duck, isn't it?
It's a great show.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites ever since I was...
Yep. The age.
23?
Yep, exactly.
He then, after he had all the ducks stringed together, he charged local kids to come and see.
Ah.
And then his father came home and saw the duck appeed, and he beat up Errol for the first and only time.
So he's just getting his ass
kicked?
Now,
that's one where I'm like, all right. Sometimes maybe you can beat up a kid. Maybe.
He's getting beat up for every choice he makes.
Well, they're not good choices.
Well, I mean, he's doing all the things regular kids do. Stringing ducks together via the ass. Getting his jennies out there. Normal.
Errol wasn't much of a...
I mean, essentially, he's invented Instagram. He sent a dick pic and he's done duck face. Yeah. They are the two.
Errol wasn't much of a student, and he was a bit of a shithead. He once threw the family dog in a fire.
Ah, fuck. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I thought it was Bach.
Oh, it said it was.
Fuck you, fuck you.
What are you?
Bark.
To the fire. Oh, God.
He'd been expelled from at least two schools. The Flynn family wasn't sure what to do with Errol. At 12, he lost his virginity to the family maid.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
And was expelled from his third and fourth school.
But fucking, like, how old was he when he had sex with the maid?
12.
12. The reverse Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
I love... He's Benjamin Button hasn't he?
I mean, you gotta have some fucking game if you're fucking putting the moves on the maid at 12.
12, yeah. When the maid is like, is this kid hitting on me? What the hell's going on here?
You want to see my dustbuster?
Want to see a duck show? So did he get expelled from school because he was sleeping with the maid?
No, all kinds of different stuff.
Oh, okay.
He beats people up. And
wonder where he gets it from.
I don't know. So his father was headed to Britain to deliver duck-billed platypuses to the London Zoo.
Oh, watch the string.
So he took the family and then immediately dropped off Errol at a boarding school in London. Okay. Errol then rarely saw his parents throughout his teenage years. His dad went back to Australia, and his mom took an extended vacation in Europe. So when he was expelled...
But he didn't know that he was going to boarding school. That's what you're
saying,
right?
No, he didn't know.
No, yeah. So they reversed home aloned him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%, except without all the hilarious...
Okay.
I just thought of the movie that it was. Home Alone 2, if you ever want to see gratuitous violence that's horrifying, I highly recommend that. Have you ever seen the video where they put blood around the actual, what it would be like if someone actually got injured in Home Alone 2? Because they would have died a number of times.
No, there was a doctor who went through and like every hit in Home Alone, he was like, again, shattered cranium. He was like, optical nerve completely ruined, blindness for sure, and I don't think his heart would still be pumping, like I said from the previous injury. I don't think he'd have a heart.
I want to see a gritty reboot of Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That'd
away.
Be so good, where like it's just the story of a kid who gets left home alone and kills two strangers.
And it's over in like 15 minutes. Just like, oh, shit, I killed him.
No, he like fucking tortures them for an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, yeah. Burning them. Again, fourth-degree burns, definitely fourth-degree burns. Again, shattered cranium.
So he then got expelled from the boarding school, and his father got him into another private boarding school, which he was then quickly kicked out of.
Okay.
And then his father brought him back to Australia and put him in an elite private boarding school in Sydney. I didn't know they had those in Sydney. Errol was tall and athletic and super good looking. Kind of like me.
Ring a bell? You're easy on the eyes. What can I say?
You like movies?
Wait a minute. You guys are going to do it. Fuck.
Yeah.
I want to go watch a story about a kid murdering two elder men.
Errol often beat up other students and excelled in the school boxing program. He went on to fight.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's studying.
Yeah. He went on to fight in the state amateur championships and was known for smugly smiling at his opponents in the ring while dancing around. And after a while, he'd look at his feet and his opponent would follow his gaze and then Errol would punch them.
I mean, that's like a video game. It's like, oh, this is the guy who looks at his feet. And then you hit him.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on down there at your feet? Oh, shit. Good one, Errol. It's good.
He was expelled again. Former classmates said it was either for stealing money or because he was caught fucking the daughter of the school's laundress.
I'm going to go with option B.
Yep. Yeah.
If it's Errol Flynn, it's
fucking... Yeah, he likes a tidier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a thing for a cleaner.
Yeah.
It says something.
It's his type.
Yeah.
What are you doing there, mopping?
Yes. Why?
So, he was 17 now. He's 17 years old, and his parents are in Europe, so he decided he was just done with school.
Yeah.
I think school decided it was done with Errol, right?
Yeah.
He was looking for a job when he was seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He put the vibe out there early. He was like, I'm not for school.
No, right? And when he was seven, he just showed people his dick and then, like, went and looked for a job.
That's literally what he did. Well, I gotta go get a job now. I showed my dick. I know how it works. I'm seven.
He stayed with relatives around Sydney. He was a smooth operator, good-looking, charming, and witty. He became friends with a wealthy socialite, Kenneth Hunter Kerr. They were both into tennis and courting pretty rich young women.
Okay.
Kenneth got Errol a job for an importing company. He quickly got fired for stealing the petty cash.
Right.
Blowing at a racetrack also.
Okay.
Now, in 1927, Razor Street gangs in Sydney were very active, and a friend convinced Errol to join one of the Razor gangs because he said it would make them rich. That guy's not very smart.
Okay.
But in their first week as gang members, his friend was accused of being a rat, and by the end of the week, he was dead in a gutter.
Jesus Christ.
So Errol left the gang.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, that's a bad job.
After he fucked the woman who cleaned up the crime scenes.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing there? Cleaning up blood?
Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah, but I can make you come.
Excuse me, how old are you?
4.
Okay. I mean, sure. Yeah, it is the time. So I'm dating a 4-year-old. He's awesome.
He's huge.
We have a lot in common.
So gold was found in New Guinea, which you knew about.
Yes, I remember when that happened.
So gold rush, Errol pulled together enough money to board a ship, and on the journey, he charmed the wife of a government official, and she got him an interview for a cadet patrol officer job.
Hmm.
So the requirement two were to have completed high school and know about sanitation?
Well, he knows about sanitation. He's fucked his way into the career. We caught Errol fucking a mop.
As far as sanitation goes, I got a whole operation where ducks don't shit. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Things are good.
So he gets the job. And he's sent to a remote village working as a cadet patrol officer. He dressed like a classic little Commonwealth imperialist. He has a white suit, a white helmet, and he carried the little cane around.
Sure.
And he'd teach tribes about sanitation. He couldn't believe the natives dressed in G-strings made of vine, lived amongst roaming pigs, used holes for toilets, and left dead dogs out to rot.
Well, this guy, but think about his life. He's throwing dogs in fire.
Yeah, but not, I mean, that's taking care of him.
Mm.
As opposed to just leaving around to rot, you know. At least he's cutting out the middleman, sort of.
Sure. Right. You mean the Reaper?
But soon he was bored. He started spending his days swimming in a watering hole and hitting on the wife of a high-ranking Australian government employee.
What did she clean?
Her name was Maura. And one day he saw Maura swimming, so he stripped down to his trunks and he dove in the swimming hole she was in.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then when he surfaced, he was face-to-face with his boss, who was also in the water.
Okay.
And was now furious because Errol was supposed to be working. So as Errol got out of the swimming hole, he told Maura that he'd be getting fired the next day and probably would never see her again. And she said, "My husband's going to be out that night. You should come over."
Wow. All right. So there's a pattern. He's got the goods, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
But Maura's husband came home early and found them fucking in bed.
Oh, boy, he's back in the watering hole.
He might lose his job.
You're rehired. What?
And they got into a fist fight, and the husband ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, because Errol was a good fist fighter.
Yeah,
like,
he's a boxer.
Boxer, but and also in his spare time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the guy walked in like the worst scenario, because the two things he knows how to do are box and fuck.
Yeah.
And so he walked in, and he's like, "Oh, that's it, let's do it."
He's like, "These are the things I'm good at." So he's fucking his wife while he's punching him.
Yeah. I mean, if he was pulling a duck string at the time, it would just be all the strengths.
So the next day, Errol had a meeting with his boss, right, about jumping in the swimming hole.
What? They still had the meeting?
This isn't the same. Oh. This is a different guy.
Oh, this is a different boss.
Yeah, the husband is a different guy.
Right, okay.
So he goes in to meet the boss, who he had seen in the swimming hole, and and he's all bloodied, and he's got a bruised face, and his boss is... He tells the boss a story, and the boss is like, "That's fucking awesome. I hate that guy. You can keep your job."
Does he have a genie lamp, maybe? Okay. I mean...
So...
He's only making terrible choices and being rewarded constantly.
Oh, you're going to love this story.
Oh, boy. Does he become president of America?
Kind of.
No. You'll never believe it. The devil came to me one day, and all I had to sacrifice was one dog and six ducks. That's it.
And
now I have a genie dick. A genie dick. I rub it, and I get wishes. That's what happens.
Well, then we all kind of have one, don't we? I'm going to go rub the lamp for a minute, get a wish.
So, after a while, someone checked on his record, probably the guy he fucking beat up, and found out he had not graduated from high school, and then he was fired.
Okay. So, right.
Now, at the same time...
He fucked the wife of a guy he hated and got his job again.
He also contracted malaria around this time, and he'd have recurring bouts for the rest of his life. He next conned himself into a job managing a copra plantation.
A what?
Copra.
A cobra plantation?
Copra.
Copra plantation.
It's the meat of a coconut, and it's used to extract coconut oil. So he's in charge. Now no experience. He cons himself into running this plantation. He's in charge of 120 indentured laborers and he has no idea what he's doing. So he went and talked to an upper class naval commander to ask what he should do, who was a friend of his.
How do you be in charge?
And he said, easy, old boy, nothing to it. You just get a hold of the boss boy. Every plantation has one. Call for him and just say, boss boy, carry on. That's all there is to it. He'll run it from there.
Okay. Sure.
So he shows up to the plantation, and most of the native employees are naked. And the boss boy told the boss boy what to do. And the boss boy said, well, these are guys from two different tribes, and they hate each other. But he puts them in charge. And then besides the men showing up to work just bloodied every day because they would live in the same camp and they were from different tribes, so they would just beat each other up at night, it went great.
Other than that, it was a success.
So the plantation's running smoothly. And then Errol would spend his days swimming and exploring and riding around on a horse.
He's contributed nothing.
Yeah. At night, he drank and went to brothels. He wrote to his father after he'd been arrested for assault, quote, I hit a Chinaman. Who hasn't started that letter? Who amongst us? I hit a Chinaman who had poor manners and the presumption to call me by my surname without any Mr. or Master before it.
He expects a Master?
Or Mr. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Okay.
He really likes himself.
Sure.
I complained to him that the Chinamen around here were becoming increasingly insolent and getting away with it all because the League of Nations recognized them as equals with the white man. When the Germans owned this region, a Chinaman had to take his hat off before talking to a white man. Otherwise, it was knocked off. So he punched the guy.
I mean, there are some parts of this state where those opinions are still pretty relevant. So...
That was a half laugh. So Errol's a good guy so far.
Yeah. Mm.
For the assault, he was given the option of a 30-pound fine or 2 weeks in prison.
Okay. What do you take?
He took prison.
He took prison?
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's because whites weren't allowed to serve in the same prison as locals. So he got house arrest instead.
How do you monitor house arrest back then?
I don't know.
Don't leave. See you later.
Well, he didn't. He just got drunk and then women would come over and he'd fuck him. Like, that was his house arrest. House arrest for him is like Saturday night.
Every night's Saturday night.
And then he got gonorrhea while he was on house arrest.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Errol Flynn was today quoted in house arrest as saying, winning, my life is winning.
He's tweeting before Twitter. He keeps saying hashtag.
It's going to get dark. One day a member of a nearby tribe ran into a plantation saying another tribe had just massacred his people. This happens. This happens when I'm at work all the time. Errol went to the site and found a terrified young girl in nothing but a grass skirt hiding and trembling. Here is the description of finding a girl amidst a slaughter of human beings. Quote, she was absolutely exhausted, petrified. She looked up at me as if she anticipated death. She was little and probably young, though they had no conception of age there. We managed to convey to her that there was nothing to be afraid of, and her face lit up, and I realized I was staring at a honey-color girl of exceeding femininity.
Oh, my God.
Haven't you guys ever fallen in love with someone in the middle of a massacre?
How are you even in that mode?
Have you heard of a sociopath?
Yes. Still.
She had a perfect little figure and the most...
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Glorious pair of breasts you ever saw.
Honestly, when it started off, it was, you were like, oh, he does have empathy.
Yeah.
She's petrified.
Yeah.
She thinks she's going to die.
Yeah.
She's really cute. And are you thirsty? Do you like rum? You want a drink? Let's get some pina coladas. You'll be fine. Let's have a drink. What do you like to eat? We have so much in common. Listen to us. We're old souls. Don't cry. No.
She had the most glorious pair of breasts you ever saw. The classic ski jump type.
Again, is that a common expression of the time?
Yeah. How is he talking like he's in a, like he's in the 80s in a ski movie?
Dude, she had six slopes, dude. Kind you want to ski right off of, dude. These aren't bunny hills. These are black caverns, bro. Fucking real shit.
Arrow.
Yeah.
Come over tonight, man. Let's have some bongs. Arrow.
Hey, man, I would, but I saved a girl earlier with sick mounds. Boom.
Man.
And hashtag winning, bro. Errol, you're the man.
You're Flintstone, man.
I took another sharp look at her breasts and made the decision she comes with us.
That is...
I keep interrupting in the hope this letter will finish.
So she would not come with... They would not try to save her?
He took her home.
Yeah.
And she lived as a servant and then became his lover.
Well... Probably once she started cleaning, you know.
Yeah, oh well, yeah. You know,
he couldn't resist.
Whenever I see a maid. He also started dynamiting fish as a second job.
That's a good... No, that is a good way to pick up extra income, though. That is, dynamiting fish really... It's good. It makes sense.
And he'd sell
fish
them.
Don't like it. They were a little freaked out by that twisted technology. Oh, shit.
He's just lighting dynamite and looking at the fish. Hey, I met a great girl, a ski-like breast. Totally normal. Totally normal.
There was just some day when some guy was like, why don't we just throw dynamite at him? I'm like, that seems crazy, right? I mean, it seems crazy.
They're going to fly out of there.
See. Who needs fishing rods?
Errol went in on a ship and used it to charter passengers around New Guinea. Like the plantation, he had a native crew run the ship, but so now he's running the charter ship and the plantation, but he's not really in charge of either. He's just having guys do it.
Right.
This is actually what the 4-hour work week is.
Right.
But then the plantation owners noticed he was gone all the time, and they fired him. So now it's 1929, and he's looking for cash, so Errol decided to get into the illegal slave trade.
Let's keep peeling the onion, David.
But it didn't go well. In his first raid, he shot a native and was charged with murder. Thankfully, he was white, so he was acquitted. Errol, what?
I didn't do anything.
Well, there was a loud sigh.
Well, you know, the last couple of nights have been hard, Dave.
Yep.
There's a lot about the history of our country that, like, is hard and difficult to reconcile with in a comedy way on stage. But tonight, when you said Errol Flynn, I thought, oh, this will be fun.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy.
Yeah. No, that's coming across.
Yep. Errol then decided to return to Sydney in 1931, where he fell back in with an old cry buddy, and he got engaged to a wealthy woman named Naomi Dibbs. He bought a yacht and sailed it back to New Guinea, and he convinced Naomi that New Guinea tobacco would make him rich and that he'd be back, and then he sold the yacht and bought a tobacco plantation.
That's not what he said, though.
Well, he said tobacco would make him rich, and they bought a yacht with their money, and then...
Right.
And they sold it and bought tobacco.
So in a way?
Yep.
Sort of?
Yep.
He's a loopholer.
One day, his boss boy took Errol to meet his family. When Errol saw his young daughter for the first time, he said to him...
No, Dave. Will's going back to the screen. Don't do this. Will, stay here.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Every time you see he saw a girl, it's like, oh, God, no, please, just... This is what happens when you're tossing your genitals around and getting beaten up for it at 7.
He said to himself, quote, I knew I had to buy her. Who hasn't said that? You go over to a friend's house... And they're like, this is my daughter, Julie. You go, May I purchase your daughter?
What is the offer you have on the table already? And maybe I'll counter.
The father sold her for 2 pigs, a roll of English shillings, and some seashells.
You don't tell the person you sold them for that, right? You're like, it was $1 million. Some string and 2 pigs. Have fun.
It only lasted a year, though, and then he dumped her. And she went back to Sydney, and he went back to Sydney and his fiancée. So it was a brief love affair.
Okay.
Wait, he went back. Is he still engaged?
Yeah.
Who's sticking with him?
He's a fucking great lover.
Okay.
In Sydney, Errol was somehow offered, I just assume because he was super good looking, offered the lead role in one of Australia's first films with sound called In the Wake of the Bounty.
Was this just his mother sending him to go make a movie while she had sex with other people?
Yeah.
Go make one.
Reviews were mediocre and his performance was considered shit.
So he fucked the wives of all the reviewers.
But Errol fell in love with acting. He started having an affair with a wealthy older woman named Madge.
Madge is you're named Madge at 70, right?
Yeah.
You don't like you
no,
don't
you
grow
turn
up
into
as a Madge.
Madge. You yeah. start out as like a Bridget, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, a Madge?
One day Madonna will be Madge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And release an album.
Yeah.
So he then stole Madge's jewels and left town. He would never return to Australia again. First, he stopped in a town in Queensland and talked himself into a job as a farm sheep dagger.
As a farm sheep dagger?
Well, they know what a dag is, so you don't.
Dagger.
But this is different than that.
Like, I thought you dagger. Like, I thought you meant like a fucking dagger. Like,
well,
he was
it is.
Like,
that is.
Oh, it is that.
But
oh,
I
good.
Think some people are thinking dag, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Yep.
Yeah.
No,
no, it's
but
not
he was
dag.
Just stabbing them?
Dag's like the shit that hangs off a sheep's butt.
Yep.
What? He just
it's
winked
also,
at me.
It's
don't
also
wink at me.
It's also slang for like idiots.
Yeah.
Well,
it's old school Australian slang. It's the sort of thing that Madge might say.
Oh.
Madge would be like, "Oh, Harold, you're such a dag."
Okay.
And he'd say, "I'm not shit on a sheep's bottom."
Shit on a sheep's bottom is dag. Okay, I'm so, learning a lot.
So he got this job, but he didn't know what it was. He just applied for the job.
Yeah, he thought he just had to clean shit off asses.
Right. It turns out they castrate sheep, and it involved cutting the scrotum with a knife and then finishing the job with your teeth.
What? Dave. David.
But how Australian is that? Like,
why
just
get the
you
knife
could just
involved?
Keep doing it with the knife, but then they're like, no, you finish it with your teeth.
Nah.
It's Australia, mate.
You burn it.
Take
that
out
was
with
the,
your teeth.
That was the original draft of that scene in Crocodile Dundee. That's not a knife, and then he ripped his balls off with his teeth. That was the original
draft.
No, they actually filmed it. It actually, you can see it. It's online. It's not shot in, like, they haven't mixed the sound, but it's still a pretty good scene. Paul Hogan's got, like, this guy's balls in his mouth.
He's going down under on it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's much more terrifying than a slightly larger knife.
Yeah, that's not a knife. Oh, my God, my balls, my balls, my balls, my balls, my balls. Where's the knife? Does he even have a knife? What is he doing? My God. This is a knife. That's not a knife. Those are my genitals. Monster. I get the name now, though. I understand the crocodile part of the name a little bit more. Jaw strike is strong.
The farm had 50,000 sheep.
That's going to be a lot of nut biting, Dave. I'm not a mathematician, but that's a lot of balls.
It's like four weeks, right?
Four weeks.
If I do my math correctly. But he was saved. But he was saved when he was caught fucking the owner's daughter and had to run off.
This guy, he's a real dag.
Yeah. He went back to New Guinea, sold the plantation, and left to pursue acting in England. On the ship, he made a friend for life, Austrian Dr. Hermann Urban.
Hermann Urban?
Yeah.
Dr. Hermann Urban.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Nothing to... How do you not pal up with that guy?
No. They went to the Philippines together where they gambled, went to brothels, and got into cockfighting.
Well.
Which was a different thing back then.
Yeah. Errol started cockfighting at 7 when he showed his
well,
penis
actually
and
just,
got beaten up.
Yeah, he combined his two favorite things.
Cockfighting. It was weird. He said we were going to a cockfight. He showed me his penis and broke my jaw. I don't. Was it, how did he?
So Herman came up with the idea of lacing the rooster's beak with snake poison.
Say again?
Lacing the rooster's beak with snake poison.
Oh.
So it took a few minutes to kick in, so everyone would just think that the other rooster died from injuries. So they kept winning, and the scam worked. They're making a ton of money. But then an opposing cock died immediately after being pecked, and they were quickly run out of town.
How do they know he didn't take a dive? There's a lot of that in boxing and cockfighting.
So they went to Macau, where they...
Macau?
Where there were casinos. Errol fell for a Chinese con woman who introduced him to opium and then stole all his money.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Thank God.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
All right.
Finally.
Someone to root for.
Yeah.
The
this,
opium
the rest
gateway.
Of this story better be about her.
Now we follow her, yeah.
So this left Herman and Errol completely broke, so they headed for Hong Kong to sell the jewels that Errol had stolen. Mm. But on the ship, a pickpocket stole them.
This is good.
This is good.
This is nice. Liking this run.
Yeah.
Then they went to Vietnam, where Errol got VD, or as he called it, quote, the pearl of great price.
But a lot of things to talk about. So as of right now, he has malaria, gonorrhea, and he's got a new strain of something.
Yep.
And he called it what?
The pearl of great price.
The pearl of great price. Yes. I mean, I will say this. He has a way with words, yeah. You know? Whether he's describing a girl's breasts in the midst of a battle or his VD. He just has a poetic way of putting it.
Yeah, that really is quite... That's a good spin.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd do it again. It's a great pearl. I love it. No, I can't. My penis...
In late 1933, Errol parted ways with Herman, and he went to England. He got work with the Northampton Repertory Company as a stage actor. But he got booted out after he threw a female stage manager down a flight of stairs.
Jesus Christ.
He then got his big break.
It's quite a...
The lead role in a movie, Murder at Monte Carlo. It did not take long, but the producer... did not make a splash, but the producer wrote to Warner Brothers saying he had found a superstar. The executives agree when they saw him on film and brought him to Hollywood. Because this is where this guy needs to be.
Yep, absolutely.
Hollywood.
Perfect.
On the ship, Errol met French actress Lily DeMita, and the next year they were married.
I'm sure this will last. I'm skeptical of this man.
His first couple of jobs were minor roles in forgettable films. Warner Brothers just decided to promote Errol as Irish instead of Australian.
Sure.
And for the rest of his career, Errol would refer to his home country of Ireland.
Sure. Sure. That's easy.
Yes. Fucking Irish prick. Never trusted this motherfucker. Yeah. I knew it. I knew he wasn't an Aussie. Fucking yeah. Fucking yeah. O'Flynn, you bastard. You potato-eating, VD-riddled motherfucker. Fuck off.
Does he need to sound like he's from Ireland? Or
no,
is he
I
just
think
like,
he had
I am from bloody Ireland, aren't
you
me?
Think this guy put on a fucking accent? No way. He just talked with an Australian accent, and everyone's like, oh, he's Irish. Because fucking Americans,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
why.
Sure. Yeah, for sure, yeah. You know, my friend's from Ireland. You might know him. Because you're from there for sure.
There he is right there. Hello, governor!
Oh. He's for sure from Ireland. You guys are going to get along. They're both lying about where they're from. They're both Australian. All right. Stick with the hello, governor.
In 1935, Jack Warner personally selected Errol for the title role in Captain Blood, a pirate movie, and it made millions. Errol was an overnight movie star. The money and fame came with booze, drugs, women, and, of course, a yacht.
Sure.
His wife's French accent was too thick for American audiences, and she couldn't find work. She grew jealous.
Why did she just say she was Irish? Seemed to be an easy out.
She grew jealous of his fame and the women he was screwing, obviously. They started fighting physically. Like, she would hit him with a chair and shit, and then he'd punch her. Good stuff. They separated in 1937, and Errol moved in with David Niven. Now, David Niven and Errol had some similarities. When David Niven was 14, he fell in love with this 17-year-old sex worker he'd picked up at a Piccadilly circus.
Which is a place, not an actual circus.
Yeah, for sure.
Just for the record.
Beep,
could have gone either way.
Wow. Whoa.
And
they really should have a ringmaster at Piccadilly Circus, though. Some asshole.
So he moves in with David Niven, and they regularly start having orgies.
He's pardon the statement, Dave, but he's riddled with disease.
When was penicillin? Okay, no, I wasn't saying what. How diseased is he? When was penicillin invented? World War II. He's holding on to this shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, they're pearls, right?
Yeah.
I've got my pearl, my ruby, my emerald. Ooh. My family jewels.
So they had orgies until one orgy. Errol made a pass at David, which hurt their relationship.
Technically, he was just trying to bite his ball sack off.
Yeah.
Later, Ronald Reagan claimed Errol tried to kiss him several times.
Oh. Well,
I mean, what a great assassination attempt.
Yeah.
Well,
Errol, we shouldn't, Errol. No, both of our loins are burning. Well, I don't know, Errol. I think Nancy'd be pretty rubbed by the whole thing. I like you as a pal, but I don't know, Errol. I'm vetoing.
What? I don't know if people know this, but at the time, Nancy Reagan, I think it was Nancy Davidson, she was known as the blowjob queen of Hollywood. Did you guys know that? Yeah. A lot of men later said they had...
I mean, it's good that you're the queen.
Heavy as the head.
Right.
A lot of men later said they had sex with Errol and that his orgies were often bisexual. Like anything else, acting started to bore Errol. He played the same roles, and there was a lot of sitting around for months on end. So in 1937, the Spanish War was on, and Errol and his old friend, Herman, decided to go.
Dr. Herman Urban?
Yep.
Glad he's back. I miss that guy. They were such a good team.
So they decided to go so Errol could pursue his new dream of being a writer like Ernest Hemingway.
Sure. Well, we've read some great passages so far.
Errol sided with the left-wing government fighting the fascists. A Hollywood superstar setting off to report on a civil war made headlines around the world. While in Spain, he wrote articles and Herman took photographs. What Errol didn't know was that Herman was actually known by the FBI as a Nazi operative.
Oh boy. Remember when I was happy to hear Herman was back?
We believe Herman is working with the German.
So.
Whole time I've been sitting here thinking of a third Herman Urban. Like something will pop up.
Since his name was first mentioned.
Yeah.
Like literally in that
like,
first bit.
There's gotta
bit,
be a third.
Like,
there's gotta be a
like,
third.
What is the
if he moves,
thing?
He could be suburban. He could be Herman Urban from suburban.
I was thinking maybe Herman Urban likes drinking bourbon. We're in like,
that's
you know,
good.
Queensland.
Bourbon's
but
good.
It really, the story, anyway, Dave, you do a good job with this podcast. Well done.
Thanks for staying focused on the story, guys.
It was a back burner. Oh. It wasn't front. Oh.
Oh, hello, Errol Flynn right there.
The beer cascaded out of the bottle like sumptuous ski slopes.
So, he's reporting on the Civil War. Herman's sending back the photographs, right? Herman's taking photographs and sending them back to Germany, to the Gestapo. So this resulted in German leftist volunteer fighters who had been coming from Germany being persecuted when they came back home, and their families. Errol's totally oblivious. After Errol spread rumors he had been killed or shot in the face.
Wait, say that again?
So he's a big star, and yeah, he's in Spain, and now he's just with this leftist fighter group, and he wants the tension, so he made a rumor that he got shot in the face.
Okay, okay. Fun one to spread.
Wasn't true. Sure. But they wanted to see what would happen if they... And, of course, people are like, oh, my God, he got shot in the face. So then Jack Warner ordered him to come home. He's like, enough of your fucking war shit.
Enough. Come back home and act. That's what's important.
So Errol went back to making movies, and he and Lily divorced in 1940 while she was pregnant with their first son. That's... Errol signed the worst divorce agreement in the history of the world.
Okay.
He had to pay a fixed sum annually based on a percentage of his salary.
Okay.
Okay.
That what sum was... would go up if his salary increased.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it would never go down.
Oh, after it went... Oh, it's like the bus on speed. So you hit 50.
And he agreed to pay taxes on the sum. So he's not just giving her the money, he's paying taxes on it.
Is he takes the first option he hears?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good. Fuck me.
Great. Sign right here, you idiot. Errol. Sorry. Errol. Sign here, Errol. We all respect you. Oh my God, what an idiot.
But the tax payments he gave her were counted by the IRS as additional income, so they taxed her at a higher amount. So she sued for the difference to be paid, which he had to pay.
Oh, shit.
Which put her into a higher tax bracket.
Oh, shit.
And she was taxed higher. And she sued Errol to pay again. For the rest of his life, Lily would take him to court to win the upkeep of her alimony payments because of tax increases.
Oh, my God. Amazing. What a legend. When you said the worst, I was like, it can't be that bad. What did he do, 30%? My God, what?
Errol still had enough money, though. He moved into a mansion on Mulholland Drive and had it fitted with peepholes and two-way mirrors.
Had it fitted with peepholes?
Did you say peepholes?
Peepholes and two-way mirrors, yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's a normal...
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That happens a lot in... Yeah, no, I haven't heard that. I've not heard that
You don't
before.
Watch your buddies fuck?
Sorry, it's huh? for fucking watching?
You watch your buddies fuck?
I don't have my buddies... No, I guess is the answer. No, I don't. I have not.
Maybe you didn't hear me correctly.
No, I heard you very perfectly.
Let me slow it down. You like to watch your buddies fuck?
How do you get back there? Is it just this way and a left? And then you just gotta...
So hang on, was he just inviting his friends around? Okay, go on.
He kept fucking, filming movies, and getting into fistfights on nights out in Hollywood. Then America entered World War II in 1941. Many actors were enlisting. Even Jack Warner was a lieutenant colonel. 2 years earlier, Errol had been ordered to sell his yacht because foreigners weren't allowed to own sea vessels over 15 tons.
Even the Irish?
To keep it, he became an American citizen.
Okay, so that's what got him, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Yankee bastard.
You always have said you didn't like that.
I was like,
American.
You know who I don't like? Irish who become Americans. Yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
So he tried to enlist, but no branch of the military would take him because he had tuberculosis, venereal disease, recurring malaria, and a large heart and chronic back pain from stunts.
When did he get TB?
We just breezed by that. He's just picked that up at an orgy or something, right?
I haven't had something in a while. A cough in my mouth. Come on, give me a little. I need a problem.
The government also had a file on him from Spain and thought if he was not a Nazi, then he was at least a Nazi sympathizer.
But he had no idea.
No.
Right.
Now, because he was a big manly star, Warner Brothers refused to explain the reason he wasn't serving because of health problems.
He's too good looking.
They thought it was hurt his image. So for the entire war, the media and public ridiculed and abused Errol for being a draft dodger.
Right.
In 1942, he started having heart attacks, but kept making movies.
Yeah, one guy's like, that's fucking dedication.
Yeah.
Also, I love the sentence, started having heart attacks.
Yeah.
Like, normally you go, you had a heart attack. But no, no, no. He started the process of regularly having heart attacks and then just going, fuck it, let's act.
He signed in the divorce deal. He was like, I'll get some heart attacks. Sure, whatever you guys need. I'm down. I'll start some. I don't give a shit.
Increasing heart attacks? I'll pay for all the medical
costs. Sure, yeah, and I'll pay for the taxes that go against that, obviously, because that's the genuine income. Okay, sure. You can take my heart. Do you just want my heart? Just have my heart.
Yeah, just have my heart.
And then he was charged with two counts of having sex with underage girls.
How is he? How is he still fucking?
He's pretty hot.
Things should be dropping off.
Oh, well.
He should be like a Mr. Potato Head right now.
I feel like he has sex issues.
I think he might have sex issues. I think Dave's right.
So, the two incidents happened a year apart. One, a girl was 15 and she was a model, and the other was a 17-year-old actress. Errol was represented by a big celebrity attorney who picked a jury that was 9 out of 12 women. Right?
Okay.
So he's like,
right, I get it.
What, you get it?
Yeah, I get it. At first, I was like, what a dumb move. Wait a minute, that prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he went after the victim's character. One had an abortion, and the other had been arrested for giving her boyfriend a blowjob.
I mean, the criminality. Unbelievable. Imagine.
Both of those things were illegal.
But I mean, my guess in this time is it was legal to receive a blowjob. Right?
Always.
Yeah, you could legally receive one, you just couldn't give one.
Officer, look what she's doing to me. She's a criminal.
Sir, help, help me, sir, help me.
Oh, God, she's a criminal.
She went down there with a knife. I think she's biting my nuts off. I don't know what to do. Get off of me, beast. Oh, what have you done? Finish when he's turning away. Oh, my God, no.
Oh, my God. Hey, this one's really a criminal. Holy shit.
Hey. Well, obviously.
Lock this one up. You know what I'm talking about?
Obviously, you're free to go. You're just being a man. And you're coming with us. You are unbelievable. Unbelievable what you did.
Oh, my God, you mouth whore.
Sinner. Absolute
sinner.
Sir,
you're fine.
Sir,
you've been a
away.
Good man, and I'm sorry that woman did that to you.
Yeah.
In court, his lawyer pointed out that the 15-year-old was particularly unattractive and Errol was super good-looking. It was a good time.
What?
That was part of the case. She's ugly.
But how? I mean, I would imagine. Whatever.
He literally stood in court and went, "This hot guy wouldn't fuck her." And the court jury was like, "Well,
I would like to offer the argument of UGLY. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly."
He's good. He's very good. He's like Atticus Finch.
Movie fans showed up every day to support Errol and protest against the victims.
You didn't do anything wrong, Errol. You're the man.
Some organized themselves into pro-Errol Flynn groups like the American Boys Club for the Defense of Errol Flynn.
Whoa. That's a deep cut.
During the trial, Errol started sleeping with 19-year-old Nora Eddington, who he met while she was selling cigarettes at the courthouse.
Sky, what?
He was acquitted. The two girls would continue to be hassed for years by Errol Flynn fans. The 17-year-old said, quote, "I knew those women would acquit him. They just sat and looked adoringly at him as if he was their son or something." No, not their son.
Yeah.
No. So Errol's should say something else. Oh, Errol's career went on like nothing happened, if you can imagine that.
No, that's shocking.
At least
thank
Hollywood's,
God the entertainment industry is...
Yeah, I mean, thank God it's righted the ship.
Yeah, it's different, finally.
Yeah, thank God. We cleaned that
up. It took a while,
up.
But I think it's stories like this that we've clearly learned from that I think is important, you know, that we have now learned that stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
From the trial, the term... In Like Flynn became popular.
Oh, wow.
Meaning it was a girl was a sure thing. Errol, which people still use, correct? I mean, it's still...
I've been sitting on it the whole podcast because I knew it would come up at some stage, but I didn't want to go there. But yeah, it's a very... it was a common Australian expression. But just to refer to other things. Not even to that... Like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, mate, fine. You're in like Flint.
Yeah, kind of life of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. At some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In like Flint does not have the same meaning anymore, David.
No.
No, definitely not.
Errol then
sounds like something his fancy lawyer would have gone with, though. Yeah. And you'll be in like Flynn. If
good.
The dick does not fit, you must acquit.
He's good. He's very good. I don't know what it is. It might be rhyming, but I don't think that it is. In like Flynn means that you have gonorrhea, TB, heart problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you tried to fuck David Niven, or at least you put your finger in his butthole during an orgy.
Is that confirmed that was the first? Because that's an aggressive first move. I mean, especially, hey, I'm in like Flynn. Ah, what are you doing? Ah, come on. David, don't be weird. The fuck? We're all fucking. Let me get an F and the B. Let's do it.
Errol then got the cigarette girl Nora pregnant. He was concerned for her reputation.
Surely.
So he married her.
Oh, okay. I thought that was kind of
that's nice.
Way.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Nora lived in a different house, though, while he stayed in the mansion.
Yeah.
What?
I got a lot of fucking to do.
Yeah.
Errol again decided to jump into writing. This time he started taking opium for inspiration.
Well, we've all done that. What beats writer's block than loss of consciousness, sort of?
So he got into taking opium for writing inspiration, and then he forgot why he started taking opium, and he never wrote the book.
What book? That's amazing. All right, a little opium, then I'll get down to writing. Ew. Oh, fuck. The fuck was I going to do? Smoke opium. Yes. Just... Oh my god. What's he gonna do? Fuck opium, that's right. Oh yeah. How's your book? Oh my god! Yes, I've been smoking opium for 6 months. Right. Yes, the book. I'm gonna smoke a little opium and get into it right now. Thank you for that. I needed, yes, back, baby.
By 1949, Nora had enough, and she was out, and they divorced. Errol managed to get off opium, but then started drinking at least a bottle of vodka a day.
Wow. Might be time to get back into opium.
Yeah. He was shit-faced from midday onwards and had hepatitis and liver damage.
Jesus, Dave. Okay, here's what we need. Let's go through a list of diseases he doesn't have. Because that's going to be shorter now.
I mean, when people talk about Errol Flynn as the man who had everything, I did not know what they meant by that.
Hey, a lot of these diseases are in like Flynn.
He still managed to fall in love and marry his third wife.
Who wants
well,
any
you know
of
what?
This?
He's a romantic.
He has to have like flies buzzing around him at this point. I was like, oh, I mean, he's obviously dying, but he's easy on the eyes.
Who is this new wife?
He married actress Patricia Wymore. They were in a movie together in 1950. First, though, he had to break off an engagement to Romanian princess Irene Ghica. He did not do it himself. He had his housekeeper call for him.
Who he was obviously fucking.
While she made the call.
Yeah. Did you clean up that mess? Whoa.
The new couple started spending their time at his estate in Jamaica, which was a party place. Also,
where wasn't?
Well, Jamaica was not... Back then, he was like the first guy to go to Jamaica.
No, but I mean, wherever he goes is a party place.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, except his liver.
Right.
Or David Niven's butthole. Which, if you've ever seen that, it was made in 1953. It's a great movie.
Shot through a two-way mirror, I hear.
he had his parents living at his estate in Jamaica.
Why? I can't.
Yeah. That seems weird.
Yeah,
it seems like an odd choice with the lifestyle he has to have the folks around.
I mean, it's with that lifestyle.
He finally connected with his dad, though.
Yeah.
Who, it turns out, had been fucking women all over the world on his botany trips.
We finally have something in common. Venereal disease.
Oh, I was planting seeds, Errol. But,
and pearls.
Oh, I got the great pearl, Errol. We all got it. We're Flynn's. Oh, wow, that hurts.
Even at 70, his father had a 40-year-old mistress on the island but stayed married. Now, Errol had made 35 films. Errol made 35 films in 18 years with Warner Brothers, but now he was seen as unreliable. His films made less money. And his lifestyle was taking a toll on his looks.
Oh, finally.
And in 1953, after he cranked out a huge failure of a movie, Jack Warner tore up his contract.
Oh, that's tough. I mean, this guy deserved a break, I think.
Right?
Like,
what has he done? What has he done to deserve this? Errol had another kid with Patrice. He didn't want to become an old actor working in TV or shit films. So
he wanted to work in VD. He's like, I want to transition.
He decided to make his own movie.
Okay.
The story of William Tell. Okay. He poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into it, but it folded before the film was completed, and Errol was financially fucked. To make matters worse, his business manager died, and it turned out the business manager had not only failed to pay property taxes on the mansion, but he had been stealing from Errol the whole time.
Okay, good.
Errol was in financial ruin, and he couldn't pay Lily, obviously, for the increasing... alimony payments. So she sued him, and she was given the Mulholland Drive mansion, which she sold for a huge profit.
Yeah, that's totally awesome.
Yep.
I mean, the real lesson of this story is that if you fuck every single person you ever meet, you don't keep up to date with your finances.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, and at the end of it, his ex-wife was fucking him still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Errol was now a bloated, haggard man. He looked kind of like a guy who for decades had been drinking heavy, doing drugs, diagnosed with lots of VD, malaria, hepatitis, tuberculosis, and had numerous heart attacks.
Sure.
He couldn't get cast and became what he always feared, an actor working in shit films and television. And of course, he then started hanging around L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. There's that name again.
Hubbard's oldest son, Ronald, would later say, quote, "They were only interested in money, sex, booze, and drugs. Flynn was pretty much of a burned-out hulk, but he was involved in smuggling deals with my father, gold from the Mediterranean and some drugs, mostly cocaine. They were both just a little larger than life. Errol Flynn was like my father. Also, he would take anything to bed. Boys, girls, 50-year-old women, 10-year-old boys. Flynn and my father had insatiable appetites. Tons of mistresses. They live very high on the hog."
Literally, sure, on a hog.
I'm not sure he knows what high on the hog means.
No.
Anyway, that's what L. Ron Hubbard's son said. I'm going to get killed.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I mean...
Patrice left Errol in 1957.
Why?
Though they never divorced.
I don't know.
Okay.
They never got divorced. But things turned around for Errol in 1957. Jack Warner personally cast him in The Sun Also Rises. Jack couldn't think of a better actor to play the role of Mike Campbell, a sad, bloated, haggard old drunk... with money and women troubles.
I wonder if he was like oblivious enough to not know that was him.
He had to.
So
have
who
known.
Is this guy? Who is he?
He's fucking garbage. He's a piece of shit.
The script
he's got
shows
VD,
it. Oh,
he's
what
got
a nightmare.
Hepatitis.
Oh my God, imagine.
Fat, drunk, old, gross.
Yeah. Rapist. Well, I should drink some vodka and wash my dick, but I'm into this. Let's do it.
He's 48.
I mean,
he's packed it in, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's lived a life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was very believable, and critics raved about the role. For the rest of his career, he was typecast as an old, disgruntled drunk. But he's back filming. And he was on the Warner Brothers lot when 15-year-old dancer Beverly Adlin...
Oh, David.
...caught the eye of Errol.
David, no.
Beverly said they fell madly in love and were planning on getting married.
Well, kind of married.
I got married. The something blue he gave me was his genitals. He's old, I'm new.
So she says they're in love and getting Meryl.
Oh, there we go again. There it is again.
Meryl. Errol's quotes are different. Quote, young women are great. You don't have to listen to them when they talk.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, he's just incredible.
I mean, honestly, stop talking.
Why would he? It's going fine for him.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he's terrible, but it's all working fine.
The only punishment he has so far is self-inflicted. Nothing that he did came back at him.
Right.
In 1958, Errol was given an advance to write an autobiography.
A little opium will help with that. Autobiography? Oh, thank you.
He was living in Jamaica with 15-year-old Beverly. The ghostwriter he hired said... They kept being interrupted by pimps bringing in local girls to the house for Errol to have sex with. He'd disappear upstairs for a bit and then come back to writing. That's the best way to write. In 1958, Errol went to Cuba as Fidel Castro was in the final stages of his coup. He said he went to make a movie called Cuban Rebel Girls, but he really wanted to interview Fidel Castro and make a documentary of the revolution called Cuban Story. The day Fidel overthrew the Batista regime, Errol was there with Castro and the rebels. Everyone saw him. Errol spent 5 days with Fidel. The Cuban Rebel Girls movie was not successful. His pro-Fidel documentary, Cuban Story, was shown only once in Moscow.
Well, that's where you want to have a premiere.
Beverly said Errol had no idea Fidel was a communist.
That makes Herman Urban seem less slick. You know, I'm a Nazi. Awesome. Take a picture. I'm a Nazi. I can't see. You're taking it, so do it. Awesome. I'm with Hitler. Hey, man, you want to get a bite or how are you feeling?
In October 1959, Errol's finances were still in terrible shape. He decided to lease his yacht to a Canadian businessman. As he was being driven back to the Vancouver airport, Errol started complaining of severe pain in his leg and back.
What's it from, maybe? Oh, everything. Yeah. Right, it's everything. Right.
He was then medicated by a doctor and told to take a nap before his flight. That's the best doctor ever. Yeah, your back hurts and your legs? Hey, take a pill and go sleepy.
Thank you. You're very good.
After 20 minutes, Beverly checked on him and Errol Flynn was dead. The coroner said it. I wish we had a mic on that.
What?
All I'm going to say is, an hour and a half ago, if someone had just randomly said, Errol Flynn was dead, and someone said, yay, in Australia, people would be like, that's a weird reaction. But after what I've just heard, yeah, you're fucking right. Yay.
Yay.
Yay, fucking yay.
Fucking
monster.
Yay.
He still fucked two other people. The mortician and the mortician's daughter.
He's been dead for a week, but he actually, a lady who works here is pregnant. And
so, I'm dead. How you do it?
He won't die. Hey.
The coroner said it was a heart attack, but noted all major organs were diseased, and he had significantly advanced cirrhosis of the liver.
Sure.
Errol always said he wanted to be buried in Jamaica, and that he'd hate to be buried somewhere like Forest Lawn Memorial Park Cemetery in Glendale, California.
So
it's a very specific thing to say.
Where's he?
Well, he was still married to Patrice, who buried him at Forest Lawn Memorial Park.
We found our hero.
Yeah, totally.
Errol died owing millions, including $1.4 million to the IRS. His alimony payments finally stopped.
I don't know if they had to, though.
Well, the deal with Lily was that they would only stop if he died or she got married immediately after he died.
Oh,
Lily
yes.
married her longtime partner, Alan Loomis, an Eskimo pies manufacturer.
What?
So she fucking...
Hang on, what?
She won on so many levels. Rich Eskimo pies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's that guy was like, no, I do not want to get married until he's dead. This is a great... Yeah, we've got the Eskimo pie money, but more money's more. Let's take more of the Eskimo pie. Do you know what I'm saying?
I like to think that the Eskimo pie business was actually never profitable and it was only surviving on Errol Flynn's alimony payments. He was propping up the business for 15 years and then they just disappeared and you're like, where did they go? Oh, Errol Flynn died. No one actually buys this ice cream.
So when Lily died in 1994, she left an estate of $10.3 million.
Nice.
Errol basically turned Jamaica into a tourist destination on his own. Today, many brochures in Jamaica include references to Errol Flynn as a hero. Because before he went to Jamaica, no one was going there. And
sure.
then because he was a star, it became a thing. The brochures don't discuss all the underage sex he had with local girls while he was there.
I mean, it'd probably be weirder if they did.
I mean,
imagine you going on a holiday and then, like, down in the foyer next to, do you want to go to Dreamworld? There's also one that, like, Errol Flynn fucked a whole bunch of, hang on, this is weird.
Yeah. No, yeah. You keep that part out. Sure.
Come to Jamaica, ma. We've got, no. We've got very young, no! Anyway, Hollywood's better.
Wow.
And
Jesus
it's
Christ.
Cleaned up its act. It's still not a place that harbors sex criminals. Stays are over.
That is crazy. That gets said a lot, huh? You think you know a guy, and then... I just...
I mean, this is
How?
Really, I mean...
How? Out of that.
I just feel like I'm looking through a two-way mirror at myself right now.
Remember when, like, putting bacon through duck asses was crazy at the beginning, and then you get to the end, and you're like, that's not nuts. It's just, I mean, that's how you get a bunch of ducks together. That makes sense now. Everything else doesn't. Holy shit. What do we do? Go backstage and ice our brains? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, when I
can't believe there's a fucking second show after that.
Yeah, I mean, every time I read this, I'm just like, what? What's happening?
You gotta be like, you have to be like, this has to be a different guy I'm reading. Is this definitely? This is also him.
Yeah, but then you think of all the fucking guys: Woody Allen, Bill Cosby, Roman Polanski, fucking Weinstein. It's a fucking plethora of fucking monsters. Like, that's what Hollywood attracts. Because it's power, and you have control over people, and you can force your will. You're...
I mean, it's not a huge note to finish the show on, is what I'm saying. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming out. We appreciate it, truly. Thank you, guys.